You're listening to Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. For more information, visit rightdirection.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast.
Today, Dr. Herbert Bailey continues with Matters of the Heart.
Matthew 12:33-35. Either make the tree good or its fruit good, else make the tree corrupt or his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. O generation of vipers! How can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth evil things. That old verse from New Living Translation says, a tree is defined by its fruit. If a tree is good, its fruit will be good. If a tree is bad, its fruit will be bad. You brood of snakes, how can evil men like you speak what is good and right? For whatever's in your heart determines what you say. A good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart. And an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. And so we continue with this series entitled Matters of the Heart. And we have told you so far that in this passage, Jesus is addressing Pharisees and explaining that the root of all things, both good and evil, is in the heart. The heart is the innermost being. The heart is the seat of faith. It's the seat of thoughts. It's the seat of speech. Heart is the intersection of thoughts and feelings. Paul in the epistle referred to it as the hidden man of the heart. Some would simply call it the spirit of man. Jesus was saying that our hearts define who we truly are, what we truly believe, and ultimately determine what we will or will not do. And so many times we are concerned with behavior, but the behavior is a root or is a fruit from the root of what is in our hearts. Behavior is the manifestation of stuff that is either right or wrong in the heart. So we can't judge behavior by itself. There's a root to that thing. There's a reason why we do everything. And as you know, that also should cause us to have more mercy with people. Because when you see people that are mean, that are nasty, there's a reason why. That I don't believe people just born like that. You know, when you see people who just got a bad attitude, there's a reason why people like that. Brothers, when you see these sisters who got the angry woman syndrome, some brother has messed them up. And they are mad. And so you just got to pray for them. Amen. And when you see people who just have a nasty disposition, there's usually a cause for that. So Proverbs 4:23, it tells us that we got to guard our hearts with all diligence. For out of it, out of what? Out of our hearts are the issues of life. New Living Translation puts it this way. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines your heart. Your innermost being determines the whole course of your life. So our lives are ultimately governed by what goes into and comes out of our hearts. They're entryways into our heart, through our eyes and through our ears, and even through our speaking. What you speak can get down in your heart the more you speak it. And that's positive or negative, because your life will rise or fall to the level of your confession or the level of your profession. That verse from the Message Translation, Proverbs 4:23, says, keep vigilant watch over your heart, because that's where life starts. Where did life start? In your heart. So your hearts determine your life. So the heart is the seat of our thoughts. So we see that we really think with our hearts. Proverbs 23:7. Proverbs 23:7, we've heard this scripture many times. It says, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Now look at it. Keep saying, it says, eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. He says, eat and drink, but his heart not with thee. Now we often just hear the first part of this here, for as a man, as he thinketh in his heart, or some people quote, say, they misquote, say, as a man thinketh in his heart, or as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Now the context of this, you understand what Jesus is saying. I mean, rather what the scriptures are saying here. Jesus is saying, it's not in the New Testament, it's in Proverbs. What Solomon is writing here. For as he thinketh in his heart, he's saying now, you're around someone who's in his heart, he's a miser, he's a stingy person. Okay, and he hosts a dinner and he says to you, eat whatever you want. Okay, but the Bible says, he said, when he offered to you, he said, don't really eat it. He said, because that ain't really what he's thinking. How's he thinking in his heart? In other words, he said, he's going to tell you to eat all you want. And then after you eat all you want, he's going to talk about how much you ate. Okay, He said, oh, sure, have whatever you want. And then you're going to complain that you took too much. So he's saying his heart is not with you. So that tells that you really don't know somebody by what they say. Because people can be one way and speak another way. Some of you sisters found that out the hard way. Amen. You know, I mean, and people always talk about men a common complaint of married women is he don't talk. He won't express himself. Okay. And y'all even think he can't express himself. Y'all know we wouldn't have got you if we couldn't express ourselves. It ain't that we can't talk. We stop talking. Ain't no way we could have got you without talking. I had my wife. I called my wife, 2 days ago? I kept calling her pretty. She was blushing. Okay. She thought I was up to something. I said, we were sitting at dinner and I was looking at her. I said, you know, you're so pretty. She said, yeah, okay. And I realized I don't tell her often enough that she's pretty. Okay. But I can assure you, when we first got together, I was always telling her how pretty she is and how beautiful she is. Brother, it is y'all can't talk. You stop talking. Ain't no way you can get a woman without talking. Ain't no way you can get a woman without talking. A brother, you don't get a woman but going around coming. Where you want to go? What you doing? See, you learn to grunt. You just start off grunting. You start off speaking. Painting pictures with your words. Girl, your eyes just twinkle like the stars. You know, I'm telling you, boy, when I look at you, just roll all my troubles away. Boy, that stuff used to roll at you. You just stop talking, okay? But you women find out that what he says and what he does may not always be consistent. Amen. So as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. God wiped out the entire human race and chose to start all over again with a man and his family named Noah because of matters of the heart. Because of thoughts of the heart. Look at Genesis 6 and 5. Genesis 6 and 5. It says, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of what? Of his heart were only evil continually. Man had become so depraved, had fallen to such a state that the Bible says, God says, every imagination of the thought of his heart were only evil. Imagination is what you could think and conceive of doing. Imagination. And God said it was got to a place that everything man even thought or planned or considered or perceived to do was only evil. So God started it over again. Why? Because of matters of the heart. Zechariah, the 8th chapter, verse 17. Stop trying to find that in the Bible. Y'all ain't even studying the book of Zechariah. Just look on the screen. It'll be quicker. We got to go. Zechariah, the 8th chapter, verse 17. It says, and let none of you imagine evil where? In his hearts. Don't imagine evil where? In his heart. So we imagine things in our hearts. He said, don't imagine evil in his heart against his neighbor. He said, love no false oath. For all these things, God said, I hate, saith the Lord. God hates us imagining evil in our hearts. And, we can act like we're loving everybody, but God knows the heart, good and bad. God knows the heart. And, one of the ways I realized this as I was preparing this and studying, meditating about this series is that you got to judge your own hearts. And I'm telling you, one way you can judge yourself, you can think you have forgiven somebody. You say, they don't bother me anymore. I am over them. And then you hear something bad about them and something leaps on the inside of you. Come on, just look straight ahead. Okay. Something leaps. You married. This is your second marriage. Your first husband did bad. And then you heard that his wife left him. You're like, that's what it get. See, God don't like ugly. See, what you're really rejoicing. Come on. You're rejoicing over some negative thing that has happened to someone. Know why? Because that issue is not settled in our hearts. Now, the Bible tells us we're supposed to pray for our enemies and love them that despitefully use us and all that. I'm telling you, that takes the real love of God, and you got to judge yourself based upon God's standard, not how you feel. And so many times we're still imagining, we're not planning on doing anything, but we just wouldn't mind if somebody else did it for us. Amen. That's because that's a heart issue. So thoughts actually reveal and expose the heart. Our thoughts and our imaginations actually reveal and expose our hearts. Look at Acts 8th chapter, verse 13. Now, I was studying this and preaching this a couple of years ago, and the Lord showed me something here. Now, we know the scripture said, believe on Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. On Resurrection Sunday, I talked about the down-up plan or something like that, about the resurrection, and that after you get born again, after you get saved, you're supposed to go down in water. That after you believe, you get baptized. Now, look at this. We hear here in Acts 8 chapter about a man named Simon. Philip had, who was visiting one of the deacons. Later on, he's referred to as an evangelist. He became an evangelist because he was faithful as a deacon. He became an evangelist, why? Because he was faithful as a deacon. He became an evangelist, why? Because he was faithful as a deacon. And when you're faithful at one level, then God can promote you to the next level. Amen. And so he became an evangelist. He would start off as a deacon. And now he's an evangelist. Signs and wonders are being wrought. He's having a home. He's doing revivals in the whole city in Samaria. Now remember, Samaria was already ripe. We know Samaria was ripe because you go back to John the 4th chapter, I believe. Okay. And where Jesus ministered to the woman at the well, right? Where was she from? She was from Samaria. And after Jesus ministered to her, what did she do? She went and told the city, and the whole city, everybody came, and the whole city started believing on Jesus. They said, we believe now, not because of what you said, but because of our own experience. So we know that that city, there was already a seed of the word there. So now there's a revival. This is probably at least 40, 50 years later. So there's a revival now of the word there through Philip. And so Philip goes and preached there. There's signs and wonders. People believe God. Let's pick it up here, Acts 8 and 13. Then Simon himself believed also. Simon believed also. Do you see he said he believed, right? And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip. Now, he believed. Now, the assumption is here, and we don't know any different based upon this verse. He believed. He became a believer in Jesus Christ. He became a Christian, and that's why he got baptized. And he continued with Philip and wondered. Wondered is what's going on in his heart. He wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Now, let me give you a little more background about Simon. Simon had bewitched the people. He was a sorcerer. He bewitched the people. He did dog and pony shows. He probably called people's names out and gave them their social security number. No, I'm serious. And people thought he was some great one because he would call a name and give out social security numbers. And after he called names and give out social security number, then he said, everybody here need to give $1,000. I want to let y'all know God's not in that. So those of you who get moved by that stuff, God's not in that. The word of knowledge don't come with $1,000 with $1,000 ticket to go along with it. So don't y'all get moved and caught up with all that foolishness that's going on in church today. And there are people who are manipulating people. They got the Lord spoke to me about it. He said, that's the saint. It's the spirit of Simon. It's the spirit of Simon. And the Bible said he was making himself to be out some great one. And now true anointing came. Genuine anointing came, and people were not being turned to Philip. They were being turned to Jesus. Look at this. Philip and Simon wondered when he saw Philip and wondered seeing the miracles and signs what was done. Drop down to verse 18. And when Simon saw, because remember, Peter and John, the apostles, had a special anointing after people got believed and after revival, they came and prayed for people to get the Holy Ghost, speaking tongues. And so now we drop down between verses 13 and 18. Verse 18 says, and when Simon saw that through the laying on the apostles' hands, Peter and John, that the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money. He wasn't sowing a seed because of the anointing. He wasn't sowing. He thought he could buy that anointing. He thought he could buy that power. He wanted for his own purposes. When he offered them money, verse 19, saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. Verse 20, but Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee. Let me give you the modern day HBJ version. If you don't know HBJ, that's Herbert Bailey Jr. The modern day HBJ version of thy money perish with thee is, Simon, you and your money going to hell. You and your money going to hell. Thy money perish with thee. Why? Because thou hast what? Thought. What's he getting judged by? His thoughts. He didn't give him any money. He didn't throw any money. He offered. Just the thought. Oh my God. Because you were being judged. You were on your way to hell because of wrong thinking. You thought that the gift of God, the anointing, may be purchased or bought with money. Verse 21, thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter. And I want you to see the next part of verse 21. For thy what? Thy heart is not right in the sight of God. But he was baptized. But his heart was not right in the sight of God. But he believed also. But his heart wasn't right in the sight of God. So I submit to you, Simon did not get saved. Simon did not get born again. Simon went through the motions with the church. Why do we know that? Because his heart got revealed to the man of God who told him, you on your way to hell. Why? Because your heart's not right. When you get saved, what's the first thing that gets right? Your heart gets right. Your language may not get right, but your heart's right. Your acts may not get right, but your heart's right. Your giving still may not be right, but your heart's right. All your behavior's not right yet, but your heart's right. Because when you get saved, it starts with the heart. And a lot of us, you're going around trying to act saved. I ain't going to club no more. But your heart's still at the club. You can tell where people's hearts are because they'll say stuff like, you know, I ain't planning on doing it, but, you know, the right opportunity come along. You know what that means? That means their heart hasn't changed. You know, I'm going to be faithful to my wife and everything. You know, I'm married. But, you know, I mean, long as no sweet sister come up messing with me too much. No, your heart's not right. Because when you set your heart, then it governs your behavior. You hear what I said? You set your heart first, then it governs your behavior. Stop trying to deal with behavior if your heart's not right. That's how we ended last week. Psalm 51, right? David cries unto God, God created me a clean heart. Renew within me in right spirit. So he says to Simon, he says, your heart is not right with God. Look at this, verse 22. Repent therefore of thy wickedness. What is the wickedness? And pray God if perhaps the what? The thought of thine heart, not your behavior. Ask God that the thoughts of your heart may be forgiven you. Because our hearts is what God sees. When God chose David, I was teaching about this on Wednesday, for those of you who come on Wednesday, God went looking for David and said, I've looked for a man who's after my heart. When Samuel saw Eliab, the eldest, the broadest, the tallest, looked like physically the most qualified son of Jesse. Surely this can be the king. This must be the one. He said, don't look at his stature. Man, God don't see as man sees, and God doesn't judge as man judge. Because man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. And when God looks at Simon's heart, he said, your heart's not right. You need to understand, you can come to church and your heart's not right. You can join the church, but your heart's not right. People join the church for all kinds of reasons. We've had people, and I've watched it over the years. Okay, we've had people come to the church and they just want to be a part of us. Oh, they're so grateful. They see this is such an awesome place. The praise and worship is here. You know, the Spirit of God is here. They experience the difference. The word takes their life to another level, but they got another agenda. And the agenda that they have is that they want to get everybody in the church signed up under their downline. They see this as an opportunity to get rich. And then when they see that we can't be bought like that, they follow us no more. Because I can't be bought. I've had people try to do it. I had somebody said to me one time, sat in my office, they said, Pastor, I found that everybody got a price. I said, look at this one here. Because there's some compromises. I don't care. I will reject money to stand on the principle of God's word. See, because see, once I start trusting man for my money, God backs up. Oh, you trust man, huh? Well, you don't need my favor. You don't need any supernatural things happen because you trust man. You're willing to hook and crook for it. You're willing to kiss people's behinds for it. I mean, compromise with people. God sees the hearts. Thoughts expose heart. Matthew 9 and verse 4. It says, and Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, why think ye evil where? In your heart. He doesn't judge behavior. Jesus dealt with hearts. Jesus dealt with hearts. We deal with behavior. Jesus dealt with hearts. They were talking about adultery. After the act, Jesus said, forget the act. He said, there's no thought. There can't be an act. He said, he that looketh on a woman to commit adultery has already committed adultery in his heart. And the first time I saw that scripture, I thought I'm doomed to hell. That means you can never see that an attractive woman. And the Lord showed me, it's not the first look, it's that second look, brother. Everybody say the second look. You know, you're walking down the street, you see a woman, you see her coming. Boy, that's a beautiful woman. You know, boy, God has made some beautiful creatures. Go on about your business. But when you're walking down and she walked by you and then you go, that's adultery. It wasn't the first look. It was the second one. That closer observation. That one where you're trying to get Superman eyes. Trying to see through stuff. Jesus said, it's the thoughts. So Jesus looks at thoughts. We look at behavior. Jesus deals with thoughts. Because thoughts expose the heart. We often say, God knows my heart. But it's so important to really know that God really does know our hearts. The good, the bad, the ugly, the intense. The Bible says he judges that word of God is sharp and quick and powerful. Dividing between asunder between soul and spirit. The thoughts and the intentions of the heart. God sees that. He knows that because of what we say and how we act. Luke 5:22. Jesus had just told the paralyzed man whom his four friends had ripped off the roof in the building and let the man down into the room. And Jesus said, it's a very unique situation because we don't see this always. Jesus didn't say the man's healed. He just said to him, your sins are forgiven thee. And then the man got healed. Jesus, which implies to me some kind of way this particular sickness this man had is not a doctrine, but this particular man with this particular illness obviously has something to do with some sin he had committed. Because Jesus says to him, not you're healed, not get up, take your bed and walk. He said, your sins are forgiven thee. And he got healed through forgiveness of sins. And the Bible says, it goes on to say, and Jesus, knowing their hearts, said, why think ye evil in your heart? Luke 5:22, Jesus had just told a paralyzed man, sins forgiven. And then Jesus says, and when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he perceived what? He perceived their thoughts. He answered and said unto them, what reason ye in your hearts? What you thinking about? Because he perceived their thoughts. Oh, my God. Man, I think we would judge ourselves a little more severely if we realize God sees your thoughts. Amen. See, we're so concerned that we don't act wrong. God said, you need to stop thinking wrong. Watch it. God said, you need to stop feeling wrong about that person. Okay? Because even as Christians, though we may have our own opinions about the gay lifestyle, and about the LGBT agenda, God says, I wish that none perish, but all come to repentance. So if in some kind of way we feel that's justified, that bunch of people got killed who happened to be in a gay club, something wrong with our hearts. I'm talking to all of us, myself included. Something's wrong in our hearts that we don't really have the love of God the way we think we got the love of God and say we got the love of God, because it ought to sadden us whether it was gay or straight. Because remember what the scripture says, including homosexuality. It says, and such were some of you. So you're saved now. You're living holy now. You got a wife now. You got a husband now. You're lined up with the word now. But such were some of you. Thank God when you was in the gay club, you didn't get shot up. Oh, y'all don't want to come on now. Thank God when you was in the straight club with the same lust spirits as the gay club. You didn't get shot up. Come on now. See, we got to judge our hearts. We got to judge our hearts. Yes, God knows our hearts. Very important that we are conscious that he does indeed know our heart. Look at Luke 24.
What you believe or feel in your heart guides your actions and reactions. It's time for us to have a heart checkup. What are you allowing to penetrate your heart? Dr. Herbert Bailey examines matters of the heart in this powerful series. Order today for your love gift of $15 or more. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to rightdirection.info. Ask for Matters of the Heart.
If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations.
In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereport@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.